Hey, man, we are so glad you are here. My name is Caleb Walsrup. I am the student pastor here, and I just wanted to say welcome. Parents, I am really thrilled that you get to be a part of tonight, but also, like, I saw a lot of parents in here that, like, you don't have anyone being baptized necessarily in your family, but yet, like, you came to show support for the things that your teen is enthusiastic about and involved in, and so I just wanted to say, like, I'm super glad you're here. Man, so I just want to say thank you. Like, really, our team started planning this about 4 weeks ago, and we were like, man, we have a lot of students. Over the past 6 months, we've probably had near 30 students who have either come to know Jesus or recommitted their life to Christ. And we started to talk, man, we haven't done anything about baptism. Now, I know some of them have been baptized on Sunday morning in front of the main congregation, which is really cool, and we love that. But we're like, man, some of these students don't even come on Sunday morning. And so we need to follow what God has called us to do, which is to repent and be baptized, to believe and be baptized. And so we planned this. And I'm going to be honest, not in my really wildest dreams that I think it'd look like this, that so many parents would show up and so many students would show up and that y'all would show up with such excitement. And so I just want to say we are thrilled. We are thrilled. And it has been so exciting to see how these students have come to new life in Jesus. That with new life in Jesus came a whole brand new hope. And that's a word I want to think about for a minute, is this word hope. That the Bible talks about having a new hope or having a hope in Jesus. But I think sometimes we don't always think through the definition of that. And so the definition that I want to work with this evening is the confident expectation of what God has promised. This hope of, it's not a wish or a dream of saying, man, I hope that this will happen. I'm wishful that this would happen. Rather, it is my hope for a new life, for eternal life, rest in a confident expectation of what God has promised. It's this promise that I know is going to happen. And so I am confidently expecting what Jesus will do. And for the person who has placed their faith in Jesus, they can rest in this living hope. Now, here's the thing, is hope finds its strength not in our circumstances, not in how much we do or how well we read the Bible or any of that. No, our hope finds its strength in his faithfulness. That our hope finds its strength in God's faithfulness. And that's where it rests. And that's a strong hope because our God is reliant. And reliable, not reliant, reliable. We are reliant. And he is reliable. That he has done great things that we get to see. And for the person who has placed their faith in Jesus, you need to understand that it is not the facts of life that determine their hope, but it is rather the faith of life that determines their hope. That the facts of life are not whether I'm doing well today, or I'm sick today, or I'm succeeding today, or I'm failing today. No. The facts of life do not determine our hope. But rather, it's the faith of life, what our faith, what our life is founded on, that determine the hope that we have and how confident we are in that hope. And that's what we have in Jesus, is a living hope, is one that isn't determined or swayed by the ways of this world. There's one that stands firm outside of it and over it. And it's a much greater and bigger hope. Jesus kind of puts it this way when he's talking about this living hope. And it's in it's in the book of Mark, and Mark records and he's sending out his friends, his disciples, the apostles, and he says, hey guys, I'm going to send you out to do some great things. And this is what he says. He says, then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This good news, the thing that so many students we've seen cling to. This news about a Savior, about a living hope, about the confident expectation of what God would do. He says, man, I'm calling you. I want you to go out. And I want you to preach the gospel to all creation. It says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, here's what I need you to understand quickly, is that baptism does not lead to salvation. That's not what it does, and we know that because of the scripture. See, if baptism led to salvation, then he would say, but whoever does not believe or is not baptized but has believed will be condemned. No, he says, hey, what I'm calling you to do is to go preach a belief and a baptism, a faith and a baptism. He says, for whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And here's why I believe he includes baptism so close to the word belief. It's because I believe that in a believing heart, obedience will follow. See, obedience always predicts a heart change, always shows a heart change or a priority of a heart. If you are obedient to your coach, it's because your team is a priority to you. If you are obedient to the culture and the style, and you will do whatever it takes to stay in culture, to stay according to cool styles, then you are obedient to that. That is a priority to you. And so when it comes to Jesus, students, I need you to hear this. When it comes to Jesus, that there is going to be a belief, but a belief should cause a heart change, and a heart change should always lead to obedience. And what Jesus says is, the first thing I'm calling you to do is to be baptized. Not because anything special happens in this water. Not because there's something miraculous that takes place. Not because this is special holy water. In fact, I wouldn't even drink this water. And I would drink holy water. No, rather, I think where the blessing comes is through our obedience. He's saying, man, I'm calling you to be obedient, to believe and be baptized. The blessing doesn't come through baptism itself. The blessing comes through obedience. That obedience brings blessing. Baptism alone on its own, if you were to just go baptize your friend and they didn't know Jesus, nothing's going to come of that. Rather, it's in our obedience. But here's the cool thing, is then after you are baptized in obedience, he's going to call you to do something else. He's going to call you further in. He's going to call you further along. He's going to call you out of your comfort zone and to do different things. And that is where you will find blessing, in your obedience, not in those things individually, but in your obedience. He goes on in Mark and he's telling these guys, so he is sending them out and he's saying, man, I'm calling you to go out to preach the gospel to all creation, to believe and to be baptized, to be set apart, to show a symbol of what has taken place in their heart and to show their obedience. But then he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. You got to be careful. No one walk out on me. I'm going to explain this. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. If they should drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. And in that day, the Lord gave these guys, man, the Spirit filled them and they had power, and where they went, they casted out demons and people were healed and good things took place. And Paul was bitten by a snake and they're like, dude, that dude definitely should have died. And yet he didn't die. In fact, it didn't swell up or get irritated. It just healed up like a regular bite would heal up. That all of these things took place, and then they knew, I want you to hear this, when they saw them do these things, they knew something bigger is at work here. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, especially you guys. Don't go pick up a poisonous snake. You will get bit and die. I will do your funeral, and I'm just going to make fun of you. Okay, that is all. You have no defense. I'm just going to tell him. I told him not to do it. He did it anyways. No, I think we don't see that as much now because we have God's word and we don't need to live out all the things in the flesh, but rather, I need you to hear this, students, rather, we get to point them to the power of God's word and all he's done throughout history. That we don't have to do these things, but here is the point, I think, that is the reason it's in the Bible. Is that what it's talking about is that they will go on and live out what Jesus is doing in their life. That it was no secret. I need you to hear that. It was no secret. Their friends knew, their friends of friends, their enemies, the people around them knew, the people they wanted to impress knew. Everyone knew that these guys were walking with Jesus and that these guys chose Jesus. He says, man, I'm calling you. He says, man, if I have called you to be saved, if I have saved you, if you have placed your faith in me, then you need to understand I'm calling you into something so much deeper that there's going to be signs that will accompany your life from now on that's just never the same. He says, man, and these things are going to be you living out what Jesus is doing in your life. That this is a big deal. Now, here's what you need to know. Not a lot of people know this about me. I'm going to get kind of personal, and so I'm just going to need you to, like, let's keep this confidential in this room, okay? And so here's the thing. When I was, like, in sixth grade, my dad bought a martial arts school. He bought a Taekwondo school. It makes me think of Napoleon Dynamite, and I'm not a big fan of that guy. My dad bought this martial arts school. And he had done martial arts like growing up. And he took me to do martial arts growing up. And so in the seventh grade, shortly after my dad bought this school, I became a black belt. And I was like, man, I am on top of the world. And I told my friends, I like wear that thing around sometimes just for fun. They'd be like, what's that? I'm like, man, that's my black belt. Like, I'll kick you in the head. Like, that's what will happen. And then they're like, no, you won't. And then boom, kick him in the head. So that's... how I went to jail the first time. I'm joking. No, so I had this black belt, and I was super excited about it. And then I sat in front of the grand master, and he told me something that was super depressing. He said, hey, man, you need to understand, the black belt is not the end of your journey. As a person studying martial arts, no, this is what we say is the beginning. Now you can truly begin to learn Taekwondo. Now you can truly begin to learn. And so, obviously, I quit immediately, and I was like, well, I'm done then. But I want you to understand something. Baptism is not the end, but rather the beginning of your journey. It is the black belt to your Christian walk. That it is your first act of obedience, not your last. It's not the end of the journey, it's the very beginning. And so if tonight you're saying, man, me, I am getting baptized, or you in here have gotten baptized, you need to understand, I need your eyes right here, that he's saying, man, I'm calling you to a different path and a different road, and this is your first step down that path that's not centered just on you, but it's centered on something so much greater and so much bigger. He says, man, this is what we have in Jesus. And you can do it because you have a living hope and a new hope. He says, man, here is what we're celebrating. And so tonight we're celebrating the whole intention of Jesus, the whole point of the gospel tonight. We're celebrating people who said, man, I realize that I've been walking in darkness. I realize that I need a Savior. I realize that I am broken. Like, we're celebrating that tonight. We're celebrating what Jesus did, but here's what I really want to focus on, and we're going to close with this, and we're going to kind of go to baptisms and a little more worship. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand why Jesus came and died a terrible death and then rose again. I want you to understand it, and Peter puts it in perfect terms. In 1 Peter 3:18, this is what he says. He says, for Christ came, he suffered sin once and for all. Not to have to come back when you sin again, but he says, no, I'm dying for all sin, all times, all places. He says, the righteous for the unrighteous, those that are right for those that are not right, that he might bring you to God. Can y'all pull that up on the slides real quick? I want you to pull that up real quick. It says, for Christ suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. The whole purpose, the whole plan of the gospel was that you might have a relationship that is restored with God the Father. Now, here's what you need to understand real quick. Here's what you need to be aware of. This word bring you to literally means to bring you to in front of, or to the throne of, to bring you in front of. Like if you were to go to a judge, they would say, man, we are calling you forward. We are giving you an opportunity and an audience with the judge, with someone honorable and someone mighty and someone with far more power. He says, man, Jesus' whole plan was that you might gain an audience with the Lord, where a lot of other things previously stopped you. Jesus' whole plan, I need you to hear this, was that you would have a restored relationship with our God and Father in heaven, that you may come before him, and you may bring your shame, and you may bring your guilt, and you may bring your pain, and you may bring your regrets and your scars, that you may bring your ambitions and your hopes and your desires, and you may be able to lay them at the feet of God who is in heaven, that you may bring all of these things in front of him where previously you could not bring them in front of him. But now there's nothing stopping you. There is no separation, that all the sin and all the things that blocked you from him have been taken care of by Jesus and his blood and his death on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that those who were unrighteous are now seen as righteous and you can stand before him. But not only do you have the access to his presence, but you also have access to all of his blessings, to all of the things that he wants for you, which is peace and hope and joy and eternal life, that we have opportunity through Jesus to stand before him, no longer any separation. That is the whole purpose of what Jesus did, that he might bring you to God, that you might have a restored relationship with God. That not because of anything you've done, not because of anything you haven't done, that there's nothing that stops that or blocks that, but simply those who say, man, I trust that Jesus has paid the price for my sin. Man, you get to stand before him. You get to have access and opportunity to speak with him, to walk before him. The purpose was to restore a relationship between us and God. And so my question would be, are there any in here who would say, man, I have not ever experienced being in the presence of God? That there is so much that separates me from him. You need to understand tonight that Jesus offers new life. That he didn't die for the future you. He didn't die for the one that has it all together. No, when Jesus went to the cross, he said, I know you're going to mess up a whole lot, but I'm going to write a blank check for the sins you will commit that I'm willing to cash. I'm going to do it. And you're going to fill in the line on how much it costs. But whatever it is, it's in my bank account. I've got it, and I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to pay the debt for your sin. And he says, not because you earned it or you deserved it, because you need a restored relationship with God. And this is the only way to it. But this is the only way to have access to that. It says that when he did it, he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. That there is no other God or other religion or other place that can say, our God lives. Our God is alive. But Jesus says, man, he died and then he rose and defeated death that we may have life. And so as we close tonight, I'm just going to invite you where you are to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we consider this truth about who God is. And what he's done, the band's going to come up. We're about to sing another song. We're about to continue to worship. way that we can stand before God is because Jesus died for our sins, that he paid the price for those sins, that the whole purpose of the gospel was wrapped up in one person, that it would be fulfilled for us through faith in him. And if you're in here and you're like, man, I don't actually know God personally. My kid kind of comes to this and you're speaking new things to me that I've never heard before that are blowing my mind. That I'm hearing about my sin and I know I have my sin and I know I have the weight and the guilt of my sin. And now tonight, I hope that you realize that your sin has been paid for. That there is a perfect God in heaven who loves you so much. He said, I'll send my son to restore our relationship, that you may know my love, that you may know my forgiveness, that you may know my peace and my joy. That I believe that there are those in here that you've never experienced that salvation, an eternal life that when we believe and follow him, a belief that causes obedience. We have salvation. It says, for those who believe, who do not believe, stand condemned. What he means by condemned, if you don't know this truth, is an eternal separation. It's called hell. It is a place of eternal death, eternal suffering, where we stand before God and he says, your sins have not been paid for. You are not justified. That you owe me. And the penalty for your sin is eternal death. So what Jesus did is he says, man, no. My purpose was to restore that relationship. That one day when you stand before God, he says, man, well done. My good and my faithful servant, man, my child. We are adopted into the family of God through our faith in Jesus. That it says we are given new life and he gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to walk with us, God in us. That we may know him. And so I didn't feel like it was right to have a baptism service about what Jesus has done without offering an opportunity for those in here to know and to accept what Jesus has done. That whether you are a student or a parent or an uncle or an aunt, a friend, whoever you are, whether it's your first time here or your 100th time here, you need to understand that this invitation is for you. That whoever would say, man, I am calling on the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins will receive salvation. That you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth you are saved. And so here's what we're going to do, and this is how we do it here. That in just a minute, if that is you and you're like, man, I desperately want to know God. And I feel a tugging on my heart. I believe that that is God calling you to him, inviting you in. And in just a minute, I'm just going to ask you, if that is you in here, just to raise your hand in the air. That you'd pop that thing up and you'd say, yep, that is me. I want to know Jesus. I have not placed my faith in him. And I want to place my faith in him tonight. That if that is you, that you would raise a hand in just a minute, but that you would consider his great love for you to invite you in. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If that's you in here and you say, I want to know Jesus, I want a relationship with him, I'm just going to ask you, every head bowed, every eye closed, just between you and me and God, that you would raise a hand high, that you would raise it up, and you would raise it high and you would say, and I want to know who Jesus is. That I have not placed my faith in him and I want to know him. And if you have your hand raised, I see you. I'm just going to ask you, you and me, everyone else with their heads bowed, their eyes closed, that you would just look up at me. That you would just peer up at me. Make eye contact. I see you. I see you. If you're in here and you're like, hey, I want to know Jesus, that you would look up at me. No one else. No one else. Here's what I need you to know. And we call on the name of the Lord, that we receive forgiveness. That it is not, there's no right, wrong way to do it. There's only a right way. To say, Jesus, I recognize that you are Lord and that you are King and that you have forgiven me of my sins. I'm asking for that. And God, I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life and that your Holy Spirit would live in me. And it says when we do that, that the heavens celebrate. That they celebrate because of you. That they write their name in the book of life. That when you come before the Father, he says, man, you are clean because you have had your faith in Jesus and what he did for you. So I'm going to invite you, if you're in here, you're going to pray a prayer. And these are my words of just inviting God into my life. But I'm going to encourage you that you would pray those and you would believe them. And so if you'll pray with me real quick. This is a salvation prayer. Just repeat after me. God, tonight I recognize something new. That I am sinful in need of a Savior. And I recognize that Jesus has died on the cross for my sins that I may have salvation. That he did it to restore my relationship with you. So God, I ask that you'd forgive me, that you'd give me new life, that your Holy Spirit would live in me, that you would help me to walk with you. God, I love you. God, help me as I walk this new life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer in here, I need you to remember that it is October 27th. At 7:08, that your new life in Christ began. That is your new spiritual birthday. That is something to write down, to remember, to celebrate, to know that my life in Christ started right now. If you're in here and you raise your hand and you said, yes, that is me, what I need you to do is I'm going to, as soon as I walk off the stage, we're going to stand and we're going to worship. I need you to stand and just slip out, and I would love to talk to you. We're going to be in the back. Come talk to us. I just want to pray with you. I want to celebrate with you. I want to encourage you. I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to go. God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you will do. God, I ask that you would bless these next moments as we worship, as we baptize. God, as we follow your commands, help us to be obedient to that. God, enable these parents, give them wisdom as they lead and disciple their children. God, be honored by and praise and find joy, Lord, in the noise that we make. That it would be a pleasing noise to you. We love you. In Jesus' name.